the Lance MLA, Paula Bradshaw. Paula, clarification there. Are you reassured?
No, I'm really not. And I think the use of the words like scaremongering are deeply disturbing. I welcome the releasing of this letter because it then opens up the fact that we don't have an executive here. The Secretary of State is going to have to come in and start looking at some of these fundamental issues around welfare reform. Whenever this was first mooted to me, I wrote to the Department for Work and Pensions asking, would it be a break in parity if we had a change around welfare reform around the rape clause because of our abortion law and because of Section 5 of this Criminal Law Act? And they said, under Stormont House Agreement, implementation for this welfare change will fall within the Department for Communities. They will be releasing guidance and training for those people who will be asked to look at this rape clause, and also that the Department for Justice will look at Section 5 around its applicability now. As you say, this law is nearly 50 years old. But my point is, when then we drill it down into the Department for Communities, the work is not being done. The midwives, the social workers, the GPs, the nurses are all still going to be responsible for supporting those people who want to
Why are you not taking reassurance from the Director of Public Prosecutions? He hasn't stonewalled this. He's come onto this radio programme this morning and he has spelt it out that it is highly unlikely that in any circumstance, the midwife, the social worker, a victim of rape who doesn't report it, he has spelt out all the defences that there would be. It is highly unlikely that a prosecution would take place.
Well, let me remind you, Stephen, and this is a slightly different issue, but under Section 5, we know that there's a court case going through the courts in England at the minute of that mother who procured abortion pills for her 14-year-old daughter. GP reported, and this has led to prosecution. The reason, that was under Section 5. So we know that these prosecutions can't take place, and the defence of reasonable excuse doesn't always apply. When we met with the PSNI in the summer, an Alliance delegation, to look at this, the police said they do not like Section 5. They find it deeply uncomfortable. I give the example of someone within the Family Planning Association counselling somebody, and what they have to disclose. And they said, look, all we have to do is deliver on the law. And so if we hear that somebody, like a counsellor, knows of a case of rape, we will have to follow that up. So I appreciate that Barra was saying there he's put in place updated codes of practice for prosecutors. But he needs to spell that out and drill that down.
He's just spelled it out.
No, he needs to then provide that in writing to the Royal College of Nursing, midwives, GPs, social workers, because there is a fear, and also the frontline workers in the likes of Nexus or Family Planning Association or any others. They don't know where they stand with the law. Now, it is a welcome conversation. It's a huge issue, and I think it's great that you're talking about it today. But there's a lot of work that's going to need to go on behind the scenes, that those frontline workers don't fear, not only for criminal prosecution, but in terms of their own code of conduct within their own health profession.
Okay, so you're calling on the Director for Public Prosecutions to write to midwives, social workers, and put in writing what he has said on this programme this morning.
Absolutely. But again, there needs to be a change in the law, or a change, but certainly a reflection on that fact by the criminal law. Is there a deal if we need to put in an exception around rape, because as your programme has been saying this morning, a lot of people aren't ready to disclose.
Paula, we're just starting to lose you there at the end of the line, but thank you for coming on this morning. Thank you very much indeed.